Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Donk.
Dan.
How are you?
Dan.
That's how you say my name.
I say your name now.
In our daily life, that's how you say my name.
Because every time I see that booty, I go, Dan.
Oh, good Lord.
Name,
good Lord. Let's go to something appropriate for all ages here.
Here's a disclaimer. If you hear someone mowing outside, it's because someone's mowing outside.
Yeah. I don't know whose lawn that is.
I think it's our neighbors to the left.
Yeah. I don't know if that's picking up. You know what? If I'm doing a good job editing, you shouldn't hear the mowing. But just know there is a lawn being mowed outside.
Yeah. Well, okay. If you can hear it, then your respect for Mr. Dan Reichert should go up that much more because it is
should.
Quite loud.
And don't forget that I was down in the basement figuring out how hoses and pipes and water things and bleeder valves and all that stuff is working.
You hear that, listeners? So fill out your formal respect cards mm-hmm. and send them to us post-haste.
That's right.
So Dan can know just exactly how many respect points he has amongst the Panning the Stream community.
Did I get any more today when I was on top of a ladder removing air conditioning covers?
Yeah, I got you definitely, absolutely. I was really admiring you when you stepped up that ladder.
Pretty cool.
You really cool. stepped up.
Thank you.
You know what I mean.
Thank you very much. I'm a homeowner that knows everything that I'm doing. I totally don't turn a valve and then realize water is shooting out somewhere and then freak out. I'm calm, cool, and collected.
Your response to like situations that are slightly undesirable is just, it's not like a calming, like grounding force. You're just like, do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? This is working. This is working. This is working.
Have you been in a car with my father when anything is happening?
I've been in a car with you. Well, yeah.
But you've been around my dad enough to know how things go. I have improved upon my father, which I will see that as improvement just genetically.
Listen, I'll let you have all the little freakouts you want. You all your other points are invested in where it matters. So if you freak out a little, that's fine. You make up for it elsewhere.
I got the water running. The water's going.
The water's running, yeah.
We got a hose on the way. We're gonna start. Turns out we learned you have to water flowers, otherwise they die.
Yeah, but we don't have any hoses, so that's being remedied.
It's troublesome. I was worried that because I turned the one thing and it started shooting out the spigot like a second ago, mm-hmm. and I was worried if it went too long, it would make the mud too soft underneath the house and the house would just sink.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
What if it gets down in the cracks there and then it gets underneath the foundation and then it's just like it gets swallowed up in a sinkhole?
Well, then we'd die.
Well, I would hope we weren't in the house, you know.
How convenient would it be if our house got swallowed up by a sinkhole while we weren't in it? When one of us is always home.
That's true. If we're out doing yard work or whatever, maybe we're outside. And then we notice it's sinking and we run in and get the dogs. And mm-hmm. then we come out and we watch the house sink into the earth.
At least we'd probably get a good payout from our homeowner's insurance policy if that was the case.
Yeah, does insurance cover it if it's just straight up due to like dumbass user error or homeowner
Would that be
error?
User error? I feel like sinkholes is like an act of God.
But if it's because I turned on water and let it run too much out of a hose hole.
But wouldn't we notice that?
Notice the water?
The water running out of the hose hole?
That's what I'm saying. If I noticed it and let it keep going enough for the house to sink into the earth, would insurance be like, yeah, I guess we'll still pay you?
Well, why would you notice it and not turn it off?
I freaked out and forgot which knob did a thing, and I was afraid I was going to turn like explosive gas on instead of water off.
Well, we know how to shut off the main water valve, right? That seems to be the magic thing. If something like that is going wrong, we just turn
yes.
that off. So I
yes.
don't think we have to worry about that.
And if the valve is parallel to the pipe, that means the water is going straight through. If it's perpendicular, that means it's cutting it off there.
There you go.
Do we have pipes filled with gas going through our house?
I think
we have an oil.
We have oil
tank.
Heat. We have a propane tank for the fireplace, but we don't have. We have gas. We have a oil heat and
oil goes to the boiler and it boils the water and it makes hot water go through the house.
I think it's also, is that how the house gets heat?
Yeah, through the hot water.
Really? I wonder why artificial heat is so drying then, if it's coming from a moist source.
I don't know, but I wonder, so that's what part of what's scary, the pipe stuff, because like, I've had some water spray out of pipes because a bleeder valve wasn't tight or whatever, but like, luckily it's been like cold water, or in one instance it was poop water, but it's never been scalding heat oil water, and I'm afraid that like, oh, I turned the wrong thing, and it's like, okay, well that's an origin story and I don't have a face or eyes anymore or something.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. I think worst case scenario if any of these things go majorly wrong is that we lose some of our possessions, but it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, we'll live there. I just don't want, you know, like my face to melt off.
Well, I don't want that either.
Or like a pipe to blow up and then both my hands are gone or something, you know?
I don't want that either.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's why I'm trying to be careful here.
Okay, yeah, we'll avoid that.
Yeah, I've been Googling stuff.
It's a hot day. What do you want to talk about?
You want to talk about a movie?
Sure.
All right. So, hey, you know Tim Curry?
No. Describe him to me. First, tell me what does he look like, and tell me how he is as a person.
Tim Curry is a man that is a couple years younger than me. He is blonde.
Oh, okay.
Usually some stubble going on there.
Ideal weight, I would say. Ideal weight.
Sure, yeah. Rarely a full beard, but some stubble.
I've seen him with a beard. He looks good with a beard. He should keep the beard going.
It's usually like somewhere in between clean shaven and a beard. He likes eating vegetables. Mm. He is very conscious of his choices, dietary and drinking wise, and you know, what he puts into his body and things like that. He's always keeping a keen eye on it and always up for hearing about new ways to be healthier. He is a very kind man.
Very kind. Striking blue eyes.
Sure. He is extremely Minnesotan.
Yes.
Very, very Minnesotan.
He says bag like beg.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got that Minnesota nice thing going on.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very pleasant.
Where, like, you could say the most infuriating, insulting thing in the world to him, and he would just kind of look back at you and go like, oh. That's a thing.
That's exactly what he would do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, or just anytime you say something really confusing or befuddling, it's just like, oh.
Okay, well.
He dreams of having a Shiba Inu named Kendo.
Yes, I think he can make that happen.
Yeah, I think I could totally see him pulling that off.
Yeah. Well, Tim, as you know, he will frequently give us a recommendation, float something our way for something to watch or play. As a man of taste, I would say.
I put great value in his recommendations.
Yeah, yeah. He rarely steers us wrong. And he shot over to me a message not too long ago about a movie. Well, first of all, it was confusing because he sent me and Ben Hansen a message being like, hey, what was that movie we watched about like a bodyguard guy and it was kind of like Terminator and it ended at a high school dance? And me and Hansen are like, Tim, we don't know what this is. Yeah, we watched it. We watched it at Hansen's place in Minnesota. It's like, we think you dreamed of this movie. This definitely does not sound familiar at all. It turned out he must have watched it with other people. But he figured out what it was, and it was the movie The Guest.
Mm.
And it is was directed by Adam Wingard, who we actually just covered his Godzilla vs. Kong.
Mm-hmm.
He is making the new Face Off. And actually, the new Face Off, the writer that he's working on the script with is the same writer, Simon Barrett, that he made The Guest with.
Oh, well, I am that much more optimistic after watching The Guest, which chances are you, listener, have not seen. And you should watch that before listening to this because it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't, you know, be spoiled by this podcast.
Yeah. We're going to go into it here. And yeah, again, I would say, what I have said so far about the movie is what I knew from Tim going in, and so I didn't know quite what to expect, and I was delighted by it. So I would suggest, if you have any interest at all in kind of this like cool thriller action, almost like dark comedy at times, check out The Guest. It was on
Netflix.
Yes, it's on Netflix, so check it out. It was, I think, 2014.
If you're in Canada, it's on Prime.
Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, I never heard of this movie. I try to keep my ear to the ground for like hidden gems and stuff, and this movie just completely passed me by, which is surprising too, because at this point, Adam Wingard?
Wingard, yeah.
Like, he's a director of some notoriety. I mean, he's working with budgets that are absolutely massive.
Mm-hmm.
This movie just went completely under our radar. It's from about 7 years ago. Also stars, I think it's Micah Monroe, who starred in It Follows, which I watched recently, which was an incredible movie. I think a lot of people consider her, like, at least as of you know, when this movie was made, she was like an upcoming scream queen kind of thing, like what's her face was
Jamie Lee.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, she's fantastic. It's just one of the, just like in It Follows, I always think I'm going to hate her character, but then I just end up thinking she's really cool. She's very likable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so went in with like no expectations and it blew me away. It was just so much fun. Just constant. And I was one of those movies where, like, I was invested and just completely enraptured by everything that was going on screen. And it built up the tension in such a great way. But I think the most notable thing about the movie is the performance of Dan Stevens. He was just incredible and absolutely perfect for the role.
I've never seen this guy before.
David Collins,
yeah. I had never seen this Dan Stevens guy before. Guess he's a British actor, and he kills it here. Like, he anchors this entire movie. He's the guest, David Collins. And he has a certain creepiness/confidence to him that makes this character work, for sure. Like, he is, so there's this Peterson family, which is Anna, Micah Monroe, and her brother Luke, and her parents. And they have lost their brother Caleb in the Afghanistan war. And he basically just shows up out of nowhere. It seems like Texas or something. I'm not sure exactly where it takes place.
Yeah, it's very like rural looking, like just fields and stuff.
Yeah, and they live on kind of this like farmhouse. And this guy, the guest, just shows up and says like, "Hey, I was really close. I was a best friend with Caleb." And you know, in his dying words, he said, "Tell my family I love them. You know, look after them. And so I'm here. You know, I just want to look after you guys." So yeah, he shows up and everyone kind of greets him pretty warmly at the beginning.
They're a little weary in the beginning because this guy just comes out of nowhere and, you know, he was an unknown quantity to Caleb's family. But then once David, you know, he introduces himself to the mother first and he points out a photo that was on like the fireplace mantle. They have like a little shrine to their dead son, which I feel like makes sense.
Yeah, I think you see that.
I feel like that's not a weird thing. But yeah. Anyway, there's a picture of Caleb and I guess his, what do you call it, unit? What is that
squad,
called?
Squadron, unit, what platoon, I don't know what the...
Splatoon.
Delineation. Yeah, he was in a splatoon. Yeah, they were on the blue team.
So yeah, he's in the photo, and that kind of confirms to the mom that like, all right, he's not lying. He's right. To be trusted, and you know, obviously, extremely charming, extremely handsome. It's just like, you know, it's like kind of going through life with Teflon on you. No one's going to question you. Everything just kind of, and he's extraordinarily competent at everything he does.
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of what we did. What Lies Below recently, which is another Netflix movie. Yeah. Netflix didn't make this, but it's on Netflix. And I feel like that was going for something like this and failing, where it's just like, oh, kind of mysterious hunky dude or whatever shows up, but something's off, you know? Like, but this does it a billion times better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like compared to What Lies Below, like they just grabbed any handsome face and just thought it would work, because like that movie, I feel like it tried to build up the tension, but you knew something was weird was going on from the jump, that this guy, that weird fish guy wasn't to be trusted. With David, I mean, like there's definitely some inner weirdness going on with him, but you don't exactly know if it's like good or bad, because for the vast majority of the movie, like he's just like a supreme badass, like Terminator from Terminator 2 type of character.
Yeah.
He's like defending the family, sticking up for them, you know, fighting. Luke is the son and he's like beating the shit out of his bullies in an awesome bar scene fight.
It's a scene that like, you know, I thought of Terminator several times during this, but like that was the most Terminator, because like there's the opening scene of T2 when Arnold shows up and, you know.
Literally at a bar, yeah.
Yeah, and beats the shit out of everyone at the bar. Mm-hmm. This is totally that, but he's protecting the son from these bullies. Cool scene where he throws this like spicy drink in one of their faces and just beats the fuck out of these four.
Yeah,
bullies.
Beats the shit out of him, and that's the scene for me that made me like realize what this movie was going for tonally, because it was one of those deals where like David would whip his head to the right or left, and there'd be like a sound effect when he like whipped his head around or when he punched, like just most of ridiculous, absurd sound effects, and like perfectly, just like the Terminator and how like mechanical and robotic his just precise punches and stuff were. It made you realize like, okay, this is a movie that is like comic book levels of just off the wall kind of thing, and it shouldn't be taken too seriously. And then once, and it's just, it's really like, this is the thing, this movie is just like really interesting contrast, like tonally contrasting, like between this and just this like 80s soundtrack, like this kind of drive-esque soundtrack that like permeated throughout the movie.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And some really artsy shots. I mean, yeah, the whole ending well sequence, done. Which we'll get into later. Yeah, yeah. The directing is really good. I would say it's like 80% good. The only part that like I felt like it kind of fell apart a little bit at the end for me in terms of like tension and just where it goes like with the David character.
Sure.
Because it is kind of this question mark about his true identity and his true motivations throughout it. And you are, as a viewer, kind of wondering like... like I said, like, is he to be trusted or not? Because he does seem to be having some redeeming qualities here, but he also seems to be hiding things. And, like, in the middle of the movie, he just kills these innocent people. So it's like, all right, I'm rooting for him, and it's cool when he, you know, stands up to the principal, for example. That was an awesome scene as well. But then also he kills these innocent people. So it, like, pushes you and pulls you around a lot, and it never quite lets you know exactly what's going on until Lance Reddick just completely... does an exposition dump, which is like, of course, but...
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, Lance Reddick, Lieutenant Daniels, of course, playing Lieutenant Daniels with a gun. He does explain it. So there's some other stuff we'll talk about that happens, but, like, they do explain it at a time. But I feel like it wasn't too much of a, like, here's the deal, and here's the flashback, and he got this injection, and that turned him into this. Basically, we learned that, like, he was part of a, like, medical government project, like some sort
some
of test
experiment
thing.
yeah
and it they don't go super into detail on it. Like, I'm glad it wasn't like, oh yes, it's part of the airdrop unit that we dropped into Afghanistan, they did this and they were the best snipers, and we're like, it's not like that. He just alludes to like, hey, he was at a military hospital, there was an experiment, basically he set a fire and escaped, and he's programmed to kill anyone that could compromise his identity. And so, like, I kind of felt that what happened with this character is that the humanity in him was actually trying to do like Caleb's dying wishes, where it's like, go protect my family. Mm-hmm. And so he went there with the best of intentions, is my feeling. And then once so basically Anna starts thinking something's up with this guy, and she calls this like government base and asks for his records, and they say, oh, he's died. He died in this fire. And once they start getting wind of it and stuff, I think that's when his programming kind of kicked in and was like, well, okay, that overrides everything else, you know, like the human thing to try to like protect my friend's family and stuff like that.
Right, right. I just feel like it was done in kind of a clumsy way. Like, why would Lance Reddick, this head of this, I guess, what is it? It seemed like a privatized
KPG. Yeah, they're like a private military thing.
You know, dealing with extremely classified information, why would he just tell all this to some random high school girl? You know what I mean? It just wouldn't happen.
She wouldn't need that level of detail.
And honestly, like, the movie played with ambiguity throughout 90% of it, and then for it to just kind of, oh, let's just clear this all up at the end. I mean, granted, like you said, there's still some questions. It doesn't go into like super hyper specific detail, but I could have done with even less. You know what I mean? David and the mom are just doing laundry, and then all of a sudden these military police show up and start shooting. You know what I mean? It would just,
yeah.
And also the heel turn at the end where he just kills the parents, and it's just like, I totally get it, he's programmed to do that, but it's just such a drastic turn. It's, you kind of get whiplash a little bit. And yeah, I was teased when he kills the weapons dealers. But that's the thing too, like, you talk about him wanting to preserve his identity above all else, then what would compel him to try to group up with his friend's family, like one of his friends who was also involved in the experiment? Logically, wouldn't you want to sever all ties from that?
Wait, you mean Caleb? Who was Ross? Who was involved with the experiment?
Caleb, I assume. He was also part of the group that...
oh, okay. I wasn't aware he was part of it. I thought he died in Afghanistan and like the military hospital thing.
I thought that David said that as
possibly.
Well. But at any rate, like, why would you want to associate yourself with any ties to that? I mean...
I guess in my head, the way that went down was that like that directive of like kill anyone who compromised your identity doesn't really kick in until that has happened until your identity has been compromised. And so my thought is, in the early parts of the movie, when he is there helping out and beating up the bullies, and there's this like abusive ex-boyfriend at the party he beats the shit out of, I think he is actually just there trying to do what Caleb said. And at that point, no one's on to him at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was just human. Dan, what was the main guy's name? Dan Stevens? Or is that the
Daniel
actor?
Stevens is the
David,
actor.
David. Yeah, so I think David was basically just like actually helping everyone out. And then the second, like all the heel turn stuff you refer to is after his identity starts getting compromised. Mm-hmm. So I feel like none of that even factored in until Anna called the government or the military and started getting on to him. You know what I mean?
She shouldn't have done that. That her parents would still be alive if she didn't do that.
That is true.
She should have just been forthcoming with him and asked him. And,
what's your deal?
Ask what's your deal and ask him, hey, listen, if I look into this more, are my parents going to be killed? yeah, but an interesting fact about Daniel Stevens, the actor who plays David, when he was cast, supposedly he was unbelievably skinny. Like, I read that he was as thin as Christian Bale when he was doing The Machinist, like really skinny. He got really skinny for a previous role. And, you know, they wanted him for this role, and he bulked up a lot, gained like 25 pounds of muscle. But they saved that shower scene when he comes out of the shower and Anna sees him and like kind of gets like lustful eyes.
Yeah.
They shot that last so he would be in like prime condition for that shot.
To give him as much like time to get bulked up as possible.
Yeah, and supposedly he like didn't eat for 24 hours and like just drank a Diet Coke right beforehand or
something. He was going to a bodybuilding competition or something, like dehydrated, and it's like a weigh-in for a UFC fight or something.
Yeah, which, I mean, that was an effective scene, I will say.
I feel like they did the exact same thing in What Lies Below, too, where it's just like he's like shirtless or something, and the girl's like, oh my. Oh
yeah,
me.
But that guy, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just personal preference, but there's just something like just unappealing about that guy that I couldn't get past. Like, his creepiness was omnipresent, and just like creepiness and awkwardness. I mean, they did address it in that movie by saying he was like socially awkward or whatever. And right. Granted, he was a fish man, so maybe he didn't know exactly.
That's true, he was a fish man.
Whereas David in this movie is like extremely charming and knows exactly what to say all the time.
Especially like when he beats up everyone at the bar. I love when like, you know, the bartender is sitting there getting ready to like hit him with a thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, stop, call the police. Tell them what happened here, but say that this and this happened and that it was a self-defense thing and this. Because, like, if, you know, say these kids came in and started causing trouble because if you were serving minors or whatever, you're going to get in trouble. Like, just explains it so calmly. The same time, same type of thing when Luke is about to get suspended for hitting this kid at school. He explains the same thing. Like, well, okay, this is a hate crime. He called him a homophobic slur and, like, you're going to suspend him for it. Mm-hmm. And, like, when it's time to explain himself. Like, it's not all just Terminator, like, breaking pool cues over people's backs, you know? I did like, speaking of the Terminator, like, in the first Terminator, there's the buying a gun murder scene. Mm-hmm. In the first one, he goes to the gun store and, you know, kills the guy. But in this one, it's pretty cool when he's just like, I'm going to buy all your guns and these grenades, and then I'm going to kill you. Like, he tells them, like, I'm going to kill you. And they do the thing where the guy runs super far
and
away.
He's just calmly reloading the gun, like, no sense of urgency whatsoever. And all the movements are so precise.
Yeah.
Because this guy, like, when it comes to anything related to military stuff, you know, shooting people or whatnot, surviving, it seems all automatic to him, because I guess that's what he was programmed to do.
Yeah, when he's taking the guns apart and just like inspecting everything really fast.
And the other guy's running away, and just one single shot is a headshot from a far distance with this, you know, it's not like a sniper rifle or any kind of rifle or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. And then like the extreme lengths he goes to like protect the family at the beginning, where he's like, oh, this dad hates his job. I'm going to, you know, I'll kill his bosses so he'll get promoted, you know, and that happens off screen.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually, you know, I didn't pick up on that until later in the movie when, you know, he starts killing everyone. I was like, oh, he probably did kill the father's boss.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big coincidence.
Do they explicitly say it? They do.
Yeah. Luke says it. Yeah.
I do like, oh, you know what? I just realized Godzilla vs. Kong, they used Lance Reddick as well. Mm-hmm. So for 2 seconds, but they use him a little more effectively here. I said to you while we were watching the movie, it's like, I can only picture Lance Reddick as Lieutenant Daniels or like some type of a like no nonsense authority figure.
Well,
you
that
know?
Is all he plays. I mean, like, cause he has that voice. It's just like, it commands respect. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to picture him as like, I don't know, some like Patch Adams character or like Ace Ventura. And it's like, I just can't see Lance Reddick as the new Ace Ventura. I just can't.
Also, we're watching watching The Wire now, which was filmed, 15 years ago, probably, at least?
It started in 2002, so almost 20 years ago.
He looks exactly the same. We have, like, a direct contrast. It's not like we're going back through, sifting through our memory banks, remembering what he looked like in The Wire. Like, no, we're watching The Wire and then watching this movie. And it's like, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, definitely. He's awesome. I think Lance Reddick is great.
And what a name. I mean, come on. In terms of cool names, there's Lance Reddick, Leo Vader. who else? Mini Driver? I don't know. She's got a cute name. It's just, you can't... Come on, that's the cutest name in the world. Mini Driver. That's someone's name.
Leo Vader to Mini Driver.
They're just cool names.
Lance Reddick is a good name. That is just a cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I like all of his scenes in The Wire. We just finished up season 4. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
It's real good season of TV right there. But yeah, it ends at this school dance for, like, Luke is kind of helping set up the school dance as, like, punishment for getting into a quarrel. It's a cool setup. It's like a Halloween thing. And they do the, you know, Hall of Mirrors thing that a million movies have done.
Yeah.
And, like, the kind of the wacky funhouse. Big budget for a middle school dance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking was watching this. Like, geez, how much expendable income does the school have that they can put on such an elaborate thing for a dance?
Yeah.
I mean, there's these haunted house type of, like, labyrinth where you walk past a place and someone jumps out at you kind of thing. It's very elaborate.
Yeah, I liked it. And it was a cool place to have that finale where it's, like, he's just kind of stalking around because, the dance hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
And so he kills a teacher. He kills Lieutenant Daniels. And then Luke winds up stabbing him twice. Mm-hmm. And I love at the end, he's just, like, he's dying. We'll get to that. But David? David his name?
Yes.
David is, like, dying, and he, like, gives a thumbs up. He's like, good job. You did the right thing. Good job. That's a weird way to die. But he's not dead. You get the thing at the end where the classic, like, oh, they're getting loaded into the ambulance and everything, and they see a firefighter leaving, and you see his eyes, and it's him.
He's limping. Yeah. Yeah, and they say, oh, there's two bodies inside, so obviously that would be a Lance Reddick and the teacher.
Oh, I didn't even catch that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sets it up for their sequel if there was going to be. It's been quite a few years now. I doubt there would be a sequel, but I like that they did that twist at the end because, I prefer endings to be ambiguous, and it was a good conclusion. It was exactly what it needed to be.
It's almost like a slasher ending, like a Halloween or something where it's like, oh, we thought Mike Myers was dead, but where's the body, like that type of thing.
Yeah. So I'm glad it ended that way. Like I said, I thought like the last act of the movie was, the pace and the tone changed really dramatically, and it just was a little off the handle.
He's blowing up a diner with grenades.
Just very inconsistent from the rest of the movie, but it was still way fun the whole way, and I highly recommend it. Like I said, I hope you didn't listen this much and not watch it because it's worthy of your time.
It is definitely worth checking out, and like you said, it makes me really excited I wasn't excited for Face Off 2 yet, but it makes me very, very excited about the prospect of Face Off 2. Because seems to get the tone of like an action movie, but also that knows that it's kind of ridiculous. And, that's what you need for Face Off 2,
An action movie with a level of absurdity that's not just like violence absurdity, but like how just ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. How absurd the story is.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Adam Wingard, his brother, is a fan of mine. I see him in my Twitch chat all the time. Mr. Wingard, if you are listening to this podcast, I want to be in Face Off 2 as a guy that is about, just an extra. You don't even need to pay me. I just want to be an extra. I don't know how union rules work. Maybe you have to pay me. I'll get a card if I need to. But I want to be a guy sitting at like an outdoor diner or just walking down the street with a sandwich in my hand, and I'm going to take a bite out of a sandwich, and then some crazy thing happens. I don't know what Castor and Pollux and all those guys are doing, and I turn and I drop the sandwich.
Yeah. Dan, this has been a dream of Dan's for some time now.
Yes.
If it was going to happen, I feel like this would be the movie for it. It would be perfect. Yeah. For what it's worth, Adam Wingard's brother, we did play Face Off 2 times at our real wedding.
Yes. We brought down on a projector. I got a hold of a projector and during dancing and everything.
Yeah, during the titular scene where the faces come off, I had the DJ stop the music and direct everyone's attention to the scene because, let's face it, that's one of the greatest scenes in cinema history.
Bunk grabbed a live mic at the wedding and told everyone to stop dancing and pay attention to Face
Off. Stop dancing, stop laughing, stop the merriment.
This is not, this is serious here.
Look at Nick Cage without a face.
Yes. Please let me drop a sandwich and Face Off too. Mr. Wingard, thank you. But no, legit, I like his stuff. I am instantly interested in future stuff he does. You know, I already, when I heard about Face Off, I was interested. Godzilla vs. Kong, I thought was silly, good fun. Mm-hmm. Seeing this is much more of a, like, one-to-one of, like, what I want out of, like, a Face-Off than, like, a big mm-hmm. monster movie, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's in good hands. And the fact that it's going to be a sequel and about Archer and Troy, that sounds great. So, yeah, that is it. You were just, your eyes were darting. Did you see a bug?
Yeah, there's a little bug, a little gnat.
I used some AC foam. I tried to tape up all the edges.
Is it any better since you've done that?
Tonight will be the real test. Okay. It happens at night. So, yeah, we'll see. But that will be it for The Guest. Highly, highly recommended hidden gem on Netflix from 2014.
14.
14. Bonk, thanks so much for joining me as always.
Oh, thank you.
Before we go, we got to give a special shout out to our patrons. Patreon.com/panningthestream.
That's it.
You go there. It's real simple. It's $1 $5 tier.
Just one.
Every month, it's $5. It gets you ad-free episodes.
Wow.
It gets you early access to episodes. Gets you a day early. It gets you access to the Discord. Over 700 folks in there now. Very, very active. And
great
also,
place.
It is a great place. It gets a Bonk-oo written for you by Bonk. Bonk, do we have a Bonk-oo here this week?
We sure do, Daniel.
Who do we got?
This week, we are honoring our friend Tyson. I presume that's Tyson of chicken fame.
Yes.
Please treat your chickens better, sir. I've seen footage from those farms, and it just doesn't seem very pleasant.
Is that the Bonk-oo?
No, it's
okay, not. I was going to say that seemed like a lot of syllables.
Yeah, it's not. This Bonk-oo is for you, Tyson. A mass of witches with glowing eyes and black robes surrounded Tyson.
Well, that seems ominous. Mm. It might be because
what
of the chicken stuff.
But it could be nice. Maybe they're going to have a weird sex ritual.
Okay, it's like a Bram Stoker's Dracula thing, where it's like, oh, here's a bunch mm-hmm. of like ladies that are gonna do yes. some business with you.
A bunch of Monica Belushis will surround you, and
all right, well, there you go, Tyson, just go to town. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thank you, brother.
You know all the stuff, 5 stars on Apple, all that stuff, if you care to. But thank you all so much, and we will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye.